Glory, glory, glory. You may be seated. In all things I bless Him today. I thank Him for His wonderful counsel, and the revelation of His truth. As we come to one of the most important times of the hour, that we must know Him. And there can be no doubt in whether we know Him at all. There must be an assurance in our souls that we know that we're no more our own. Do you understand that? We're no more our own. We're no more our own, but we have been bought with the eternal price. And that is Messiah dying for our sins, redeeming us from our own selves, from our hellish spin, and our own thoughts, our own concepts and precepts. We have been bound to the law of our own selves. And so He came to pay the price that we cannot identify with own. O-W-N. What a small three-letter words, but the significant power and the weight that it carries. In a man's spirit, his heart, his mind, and he reject that which belongeth unto the Father, for He is our Father. And every father has a name. He is a Father. He is a Father. He was never known to His people as a God, because gods are made, and they are created. They are brought into existence. But He is the Heavenly Father, the one of all power and authority. And He is the progenitor of His house. And He sent forth His Son to keep His own name intact. And that is what Messiah came to do, to make known. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And there is a name that is above all gods. There's a name that is pure. There's a name that identifies all of His attributes in that name. The Supreme One. The Word of Power. The Word of Might. That Yahweh so painstakingly He named every patriarch, that their names resonate His power, His might, His spirit, His unction, His anointing, His longevity. And they all were named before they were formed in the bellies of their mother's wombs. Yahweh knew them all. And He knew that they were patriarchs of the kingdom. That He ordained a lineage and a people and a called out one to bear forth His name. And to bear forth the strength of His righteousness. That no power of darkness, no spirit of this age or of this world could destroy the integrity of whom He is. Now what man has done in their own religious fervor, and that's what religion is. It is a fervor of self-righteousness. They have done more to desecrate and to destroy the purity of this great King that we serve, because they have established every kind of God there is. The God of the Baptist, He's different than the God of the Methodist. Say what you will or may. You cannot serve the Methodist God the same way you serve the Baptist God. You cannot serve the Lutheran God the same way you serve the Apostolic God. You cannot serve the Black God the same way you serve the White God. You cannot serve the Mexican God the same way you serve the Jewish God. Their gods are different. They have different attributes. And they require different things. Only Yahweh requires one thing. That we present our bodies unto Him as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. The Methodist requires certain methods. The Baptist requires just a baptism. The Apostolic just requires a certain name. And yet there is no fervent power of Yahweh in the midst. Not even their God. There is no anointing. There is no abstaining from the corruption of this world. And their whole houses, everything that they do, it exalts flesh. It lifts flesh up. It doesn't lift up Yahweh. It doesn't lift up His eternal power or His eternal glory. They never lift that up. They lift up flesh and men doctrines that do not glorify the Father. And that's why you have the divisiveness and the divide today. For they exalt traditions and doctrines above the pure word of Yahweh. And what he has done and he must do in this hour, that his truth must be entrusted into the heart of faithful men, that they will speak. Not every man is faithful. Not every woman is faithful. And so he is just simply going to entrust that into the heart of those that are no more their own. And realize they've been bought with a price. And they've been purchased by the blood of Messiah. The anointed of Yahweh, not Jesus Christ or Jesus, but by Yahshua, for that is his name. For he gives glory unto Yahweh, and it makes known the Father's nature, the power of whom he is, for his name is carried forth in the earth. And it tends forth to be that way too. And I may tell you and I may warn you, it's not going to change that for not any of us. You're going to come up to his standards. He's not going to come down to your standards. He's already done that one time. When he came in the body of flesh, he made this body of flesh, which the composition was his integrity, his truth, and men say, you're a liar. That's not the one that created us. And they still say that today, for they don't believe that. And for us, that is our hope. What hope do we have? Well, the resurrection of the dead. Those that have died in ignorance, died without the fullness of profession, and yet they without us will not be made complete. For in the beginning there was an onslaught upon his name and his integrity, that he allowed a people, listen, to go into bondage for 400 plus years. And yet they have forgotten him in their thoughts, their minds, their activities. They had a religion there because they had many gods. Yet, all of a sudden, he raised up this man, this one, the anointed, to stand and proclaim to the king that there is one that is not in your pantheon of gods. He's above all of them. And his name is the one that stands apart above because he is. No other god. You have gods, but he is your way. He's above your gods, for he created them. And he allowed them 425 years of bondage for his name. That he raised up in the midst of that house a Pharaoh that did not even know Yisrael, Yahweh's anointing or his power upon them. And he raised up a man that brought an onslaught against them, began to deprive them, and to cause their burdens to be vexating. That they may cry unto him. That they remember the forefathers as they spoke of this mighty one, Abraham. As they thought of those things that had been carried down through the generation. They began to cry unto him. And he heard their voices by reason of their taskmasters. That they were in bondage. And he sent a deliverer unto them to deliver them. To establish his name. For this purpose, Pharaoh, I raise thee up for one thing, that I may get honor and glory upon my name. And he's going to get honor and glory upon his name. In this hour, he has raised up a body in Egypt, in Babylon, one of the most wretched nations upon the face of the earth. We're living in a time that is not like any other time. Everything that a man perceives is right. He's corrupt, he's vile, he's sinful, and he is wicked. He denounces anything that deals with his corruption, that judge his heart, his sins, his evil ways. And so they have raised up their gods. You got the God of the black people. You got the God of the white ones. You got the God of the elites. You got the God of the homosexuals. You got the God of the environmentalists. You got the God of the GOP. And you got the God of the Democrats. And they all were diametrically opposing one another. There's no unity. There is no oneness. And they all declare that their gods are right. The GOP say, my God is right. They have the moral ethics and the cleansing to present themselves as being the moral authorities. And the Democrats say, we got our own minds, we got our own thoughts, and they present themselves as being the knowing all authorities. And they all have their gods. The Democrats have raised up an unclean jackass. And the Republicans have raised up a filthy, foul, unclean elephant. And the doctors have raised up their staffs of unclean serpents, which they draw from the serpent spirits and the powers of darkness to demit the minds of those that they practice their witchcraft on, and to destroy any love for Yahweh or any trust. And their gods are raised up by symbols and idioms, by names, the Republican, the GOP, the Democrats. And they all have these unclean gods, these beastly gods that are the symbol and the power of their strength. Yahweh is nowhere in the picture. During the 60s, you had a group call themselves the Black Panthers. And they raised up their god, an unclean beast, a panther, that would rip, tear, and destroy. And so they have raised up monuments of gods. They don't know Yahweh. For they are not his, they are their own. They have not been bought with the price of Messiah. They have not been purchased by that blood. So they walk in their own ideas, their own desires, their own philosophies, their own religious righteousness. But they don't know the Father. They don't know of Him. For if they knew Him and loved Him, it is one thing they would do. They would do what He tells them to do. He tells us to cleanse ourselves. Cleanse yourself from all this filthiness of the world. We began to perfect that which is pure and right in the sight of Yahweh. What a man is given to the pleasures of the world, he doesn't love Yahweh. No man can serve two masters. He can't love the Father and love the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Well, how do you know that a man loves the world? Because he is his own God. He is his own supreme power. He has his own mind, his own will, and his own desire. He is not one that has been purchased. He is not a one that is given over unto the Father. So he belongs to himself. When a man is sold out, he brings all. And he offers it up unto Almighty Yahweh. And he doesn't hold back anything at all, because in the holding back, there is death. There is a divide between you and the Father. When a man holds back that which belongs unto Yahweh, what belongs to him? Our body. Amen. Do you understand that we are the temple of Yahweh? Of His Kudosh, His Spirit. We are the temple. And if any man defile the temple, don't you know that Yahweh is going to destroy that man? So who possess us today? Who are we owned by? Is it by our own intellectual properties? Was it by the color of our skin? Is it by some philosophy? By your wealth or your greed? Or do you truly belong to Him? And if we belong to Him, we will do what He tells us to do. No father gives a son an instruction that he doesn't make it plain for him to understand. Now, a true father will give a son instruction. Son, do not go out of the yards. Son, do not go out of the yard. Daughter, at 3 o'clock, I want you in the house, not 1 minute past, but at 3 o'clock p.m. He means what he says. And he gives those kinds of instructions and commands that it may permeate the knowledge and the fear of whom Father truly is. Now, the reason we don't know whom he is, because we don't love what he says. We don't love his commandments. If a man doesn't love his commandments, then he doesn't love the Father. If a man doesn't keep Yahweh's commandments, he's a liar. He's a liar. And he doesn't even know the Father. I want to emphasize today that one little word, own. O-W-N. Now the scripture must be explicit as to what it implies when it concerns on. It has to be. And where I want to start, here, and I will define the word for you, all, or own, what it means. O-W-N. The scripture says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, I like the rendition and the reading of this text, how it reads it. This is what Yahweh translation, I like the way it translates this. According to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 32. Acts 4, 32. And the multitude of those who believed, there were a multitude of people that believed. It says, you knew that they believed because they were of one mind, and they were of one spirit. And not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was his own. He did not claim anything. We claim our own will, our own desire, our own nationality, our own creeds. And not one of those that believe claimed or laid hold onto anything at all. He did not say, this is mine. I possess this. I have a law to govern this. He did not say that. I'm saying to you, my friends, if your soul belongs unto him, then you have no possession over your soul. And who do we belong to? Do we belong to some organization? Or some ethnic group? Or do we belong to Yahweh as the Israelites of Yahweh? And that is Yahweh's power rests upon a people. And that his law is in their hearts. And that is the power of Yahweh's anointing, that there is a law in their hearts that they obey, and they are governed by that law. Any strong nation and a people must have a governing power to govern them, because you will have chaotic mess, you will have tyranny, you will have tyrants, you will have a dysfunctional government. And the government of Yahweh is based upon laws, principles, precepts, and we must adhere to those laws in order for the power of his government to be in us. And no one had anything that they actually called their own, because they're of one mind, they have the same heart, and they have the same spirit. It was a law for Yahweh. It was a law for this revealed knowledge and truth that was being poured out unto them. That it was a transforming power to change them. To change them from the person they once were into the identity of whom that one they preached of is and was. We must become like him and walk as he walked. We are inexcusable because he sent the Son to show us how to live. And the example of how our lives ought to be before him, that his name may be made known in us. For his name was glorified in the Son, and his name must be glorified in his people. But they had all things, not some things, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles delivered testimony of the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah, and great honor was upon them all. Neither did any among them go in need, for those who owned land or houses sold them had brought the money for what it had been sold. They did not hold back one nickel. They did not hold back the service unto Yahweh, but they sold it. And they brought all that it was sold for and laid it at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, whom the apostles had surnamed Barnabas, which is interpret means son of consolation, a Levi from the country of Cyprus, had land and sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. One that declared that he was a disciple of Yahweh, that he had a possession of his own. And he understand the power of that resurrection that was being taught that day. That is, Peter stood with a profound proclamation and said unto them, the one that you rejected, the one that you denied, he is the chief and the head cornerstone. For he has raised up, or Yahweh has resurrected him from the dead, and I have the witness of that testimony that he is alive. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who? Those that are the house and the seed of Israel, whereby the power of Yahweh rests upon them. And with great power they declared that. For there was a witness in their souls. They believed it. They were not denied for any man. They divested themselves of any possessions to show their allegiance unto him. And so if a man possess anything, his allegiance is not unto Yahweh. His allegiance is unto those gods that he has established, those things that are important unto him. And when a man possessed that true love for Yahweh, then he sells out everything, as the young rich ruler could not do, for he had much. And he had so much that he departed from Messiah. He went away very sorrowful because he had much. And this is a generation that possessed much, but they have very little of him. And they don't even know him. They have no knowledge of him. You know him in some kind of a religious practice, but it never brings forth an excellence of spirit. There is no purity of love. There's no righteous law. You will see some that is totally wicked, and you will not bring judgment against that. And yet you will see that which is right, and you will condemn that. You will see that which is wicked and wrong, and you will not abhor that. You will see that which is right, and you will despise that. You tell me that's the judgment of Yahweh? It's the judgment of a wicked one that possesses his own course, has his own identity, and has his own desire. It is not the will of the Father. I want to stress that word today, own. Thine own. His own. Your own. O-W-N. Now, I do have the definition of that. And it says, own, belonging to oneself or itself. Usually used following a possessive case. So if this is my own house, it belongs to me. This is my own daughter, it belongs to me. This is my own child, it belongs to me. It shows my possession. So after the adjective own is used, there is a possession there, or the case of the thing that I possess. This is my own house. So the owning of that house means it belongs to one of oneself, and that is what I possess, house. Simple definition, isn't it? It is. Pertaining to oneself, one's own belonging to oneself. It actually belongs to me. That is why I read that in Acts 4:32, that many possess and they own land and possessions. And when this marvelous power of this revelation was revealed unto them, then they went and sold all And they brought it to the apostles' feet. The only way they could do that, they had to be of one mind and one spirit. There had to be one heart, and that was the heart of Messiah. As Paul said, let that same heart, same mind, that was in Messiah, it must be in us as well. Messiah did not try to please himself. He came down in the form of the power of man to please Almighty Yahweh. He did not do his will. He said he always did all things to please the Father. So he was not drawn by his own desire or his own will. He did not possess his own. He was possessed of the one that made him. And if he has made us, then we are his possession. He has poured the breath of life into us. We are his possession. We are no more our own. We have been purchased with a price. And I will not want to try to pay that price in doing what I want to in this realm, in this life, and say to him, I will offer this unto you for my life in exchange. There is no gift you can offer him. There's not enough money in the world you can offer him. There are not enough palaces and riches on the land that you can invite him into and dine with you in exchange for your soul. He gave one thing, and the price was paid. Seal on Calvary in full by the blood. When the last drop was dispensed out of that body, he declared, it's finished. It's finished your way. Nothing has to be added. Just your name glorified and admonished and exalted in the midst of a heathen nation, that they may know that thou art the true and the only Yahweh. One's possession, what one calls one's own, and not what Yahweh says is his. The scripture tells us in Acts chapter 5, the next chapter over, I want to begin reading at verse 1. The scripture says, but a certain man named Ananias, how carefully and pain-taken, Yahweh wanted us to know the man's name. And that name means Yahweh is favored, or Yahweh has favors. Ananias, he was a man, and he had a wife by the name of Sapphira. And the scripture says, sold a possession. When it is a possession, who does it belong to? The one that is in possession of it. They sold a possession and kept that part of the price. His wife being privy, she knew what he was doing. She consented with his sins. She strengthened his hands in his sin. She being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, I want you to hear this. But Peter said, Ananias, why? Look at what he says. Why hath Satan filled thine hearts to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Go ye into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to hear what Peter said. Why has Satan filled your heart? And that is what Satan did. He filled his heart with his own. That's yours. You don't have to do that. You can keep that back. Who will know? Yahweh knows everything. He sees everything. He sees your sins, your lies, your corrupt hearts, your wicked ways. He sees everything. You can hide them under your disguise. You can mask them over under your flesh, but Yahweh sees everything. He did not say why you have lied unto Yahweh, but why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart to lie unto the Spirit, the Kodosh of Yahweh? For he has sent out, he had poured out his Spirit in the house. He said, if you lied against the Holy Ghost, and you have kept back part of the price of the land,
Verse 4. While it remained, was it not thine own? Thine own? He said, wasn't not it thine own? Now I want you to retain that thine own. He said, was it not thine own? Was it not in your hand, in your possession? Was it not yours, Ananias? As long as it was his, it belonged unto him. And when that mighty unction moved, and the power of Yahweh, and he vowed the vow of confidence and faith unto Yahweh, he was no more, or it belonged not unto him anymore. It belonged unto the Father. He said, and after it was sold, was it not in thine own? Thine own, saints. I want that to be clear in your minds. Thine own. Do you not see that thine own, it belongs to someone? Do you not see that? That someone possessed that? Is it not clear? Is that not clear that even a wayfaring man, a man of my limited knowledge can understand that? He said it was thine own. You were the possessor of it. No one could take it. It belonged unto you. He said, it was in thine own power. He said, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto whom? But what it says in that text? He said, but thou hast not lied unto man, but unto Yahweh, truly. Go back to verse 3. He said, why has Satan filled thine heart to what? Lie to what? The holy Kodosh of Yahweh. Go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What is it? Now he said, Satan has filled thine heart to lie unto the Spirit of Yahweh. And then Peter, later in the verse, he says, thou hast not lied unto men. He said, your lie was not unto me, my friend. He said, but thou hast lied unto Yahweh. He commanded them to go into all nations and baptizing or submerging them in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Kodosh, the Spirit. That is what he commanded them. He said, you have lied unto the Kodosh, the Spirit. You have allowed Satan to fill your heart because you don't see him, because you don't feel him. And that is one of the things that Satan has used in this hour, a feel. That's why these whorehouses are filled with music. They will sing for hours of meaningless songs. And they get enraptured or caught up in that euphoric of emotionalism and feelings. And by the time some little old preacher, whomever she or he is, gets up, then they are worn out and there is no desire to hear the word of faith. But when a man comes before you, always singing in his heart, he comes singing because he knows that there shall be a bread and a manna fed unto his soul. That will make the songs even more clear. That will make them more rejoicing. It's nothing but a form of religious dogma. That's all it is. It doesn't invoke the kudos of Yahweh, for it is one thing that the Spirit does. It will lead us from our sins, will guide us into the presence of Yahweh. For only He knows the presence of the Father. He knows exactly which way to take us. Don't tell me that the Spirit will take you into the presence of corruption and sin and wickedness, that you actually perform those things, and there is not a judgment upon those acts and those deeds. The Spirit will judge our hearts, will show us our wrongs, that we may repent before Yahweh. He said, Satan has filled your heart to lie against the Kodosh of Yahweh. And not only that, you have not lied unto man, but you have lied unto Yahweh. And so you have taken that thing lightly, that you are not the possessor of your soul, Yahweh showed that house away in a way that Adonijah's Yahweh's favor, or Yahweh has favored this one. What a name. And he literally showed his favor that day, that his law and his judgment is exact, is precise, and it has no respect of person. Now your judgment is different. Your laws are different. You will establish a law for your grandfather, your grandmother, your sons and your daughters, your relatives, your kinsmen, but the laws against those that have no physical attachment to you, the laws are different, and your judgment is different. Don't you know that that is an abomination? Don't you know you're vile and wicked? The judgment of Yahweh is pure, is right, is just, because He is the King. His kingdom is going to be established in judgment. That's the only way it's going to be established in judgment. And Adonijah, hearing these words, he fell down and gave up his spirit, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. What was he implying? That you're no more your own. Your possessions don't possess you. Your possessions don't possess you. And when your possessions possess you, then the possessor hasn't possessed you. When your things possess you, men will guard their homes. They will make sure their cars have the most elaborate alarm systems. They will put alarms on their homes, and yet their souls are wretched as hell. Women will hide their jewelry and their money, and yet they open up their souls to every kind of vile, unclean spirit. They touch the unclean things of the world. They have desire for the lustful, wicked things of the world. And their frolicking and their folly, that is one of the spirits of this age and this hour that's going to destroy many. The frolicking and the foolishness. I love you, daughters of Zion, but there's nothing like a foolish woman in her frolicking and her playing and her gesturing. That produce any kind of vile, evil spirit there is. That's what he began to do with Shaltan. She began to play with him. And it brought in every kind of vile thing before. Out of her loins came a seed that was a murderer and a sadistic man. And he rose up and killed his brother Abel. That's what he does. That's why Yahweh's going to judge us by every kind of words. There's nothing more sadistic, sisters. Nothing more sadistic, brothers. And that spirit of folly and frivolity that we are consumed with. That's why Yahweh had to eradicate that. He said, you're no more your own, Adonijah. While it belonged to you, you could have done what you wanted to. When you were your own in the world, you did what you wanted to. You sinned, you cursed, you lied, you committed adultery, you fornicated. You did drugs, you stole, you were perverted, your minds were filthy, they were filled with trash and sin, filled with lies and lust, you were greedy, you were selfish. Now the price has been paid that you are no more thine own, but we belong to Him. We're no more our own, but we belong to Him. I want to establish that power of possession. Thine own Adonijah, Sophara, and the story tells us that, or the scriptures tells us, that when Sophara came in because she was privy to his lies, she said, it was so. And Peter said, the same one that had carried out that lying, deceitful thing you call a husband shall carry thee out. They were not like Abigail to say that that name means the fool. And to stand, listen, my friends, you're going to have to stand with Yahweh. You don't stand with a corrupt man like David Roberts. You stand with Yahweh. For he's able and more than able to raise you up into that place whereby you can be touched by Him. And the only thing she had to do was sell him out and speak thus so. He lied, but because she was privy to his lie, she died the same death. She died in the same sins he died in. And it's lies, it is corruption, because not only had he lied unto the Kudosh, the Spirit of Yahweh, but he lied unto Yahweh. You're not going to get by lying unto him. Not at all. And when one thinks that I am in total control, I possess this, he will lie, he will steal, she will cheat, she will lie to Yahweh without any thought of it at all. Thine own, I want to express to you today, because there is something I want to show you in Scripture, and it's pure and it's right. The Scripture says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 2. Matthew chapter 7, verse 2. I'm stressing thine own. Thine own. It was not thine own or thy own. Did you not possess that? Was it not yours? The Scripture says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, Messiah said, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet or ye dispense that, it shall be measured to you again. He says this now, look, and why beholdest the twig of the small thing of the mote in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam in what? Thine own eye. Why you don't consider the beam in thine own eye? So who is in the possessor of that beam? Thine is in the possessor. Thine own is in the possession of that beam in the eye. Look how clearly he expressed this. He's talking about thine own eye. Thine own sins. Thine own corruption. Because you see things in thine own way. The judgment of Yahweh is just, is pure, and it's true. It's a righteous judgment. His throne is established by judgment. It's not going to be established by feelings and your tears. It's not going to be established by your crying and your frivolity, but by judgment. He established it from the beginning by judgment. But he allowed men in all of their sins and their decadence, the corruption, and he brought judgment upon them, save no preacher righteous. 8 souls he delivered. And he brought the whole world under the judgment of water. And he killed them all. That's your way. See, God's telling you can do what you want to. That's what the God of your belly tells you. It tells you you can eat the way you want to and nothing will happen. It tells you you can gorge yourself like beasts and nothing will happen. That's what it tells us. It tells us we did battle what we do and who will know. That's what a God tells you. Because a God knows the difference between evil and good, right and wrong. And that's his strength because he says, I know it. You can't tell me. I know God. You certainly do because you're one. I believe that. You in your pagan form, in your pagan religion, your pagan worship. Sure you are. You are. He said, what about the beam in thine own eye? Thine own now. I want to stress that forthright, thine own eye. How would I say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote, the little small twig, out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. A beam is in thine own spirit. There's a beam in your spirit that prevents you from getting to the presence of Yahweh. This profound truth, because you've got something so vile in you, so filthy. You have such a despise for judgment and His truth. You have such a despise and you despise His revelation that there's a beam that is preventing you from seeing the glory and the power of this great King. The beam can be your sons and your children. It can be your loved ones. It can be your own possession because they are thine. And you're most proud of that which is thine. You're proud of your own dress and your shoes. You're proud of thine own house. You can see some of the house that look nicer than yours in the inside. And you will say, but mine is nicer. This is mine. The dress doesn't look as nice on her as it does me. Well, my suit, this is mine because it looks better. I own this. That's the corruption of this society today. Because they cannot remove a beam out of thine own.
the beam out of thine own eye. The beam out of thine own eye. And so the judgment is corrupt, is foul, is wicked. These are the workings of hell. It is not by the revelation and the anointing of Yahweh. When that judgment came with Ananias and Sapphira, they feared Yahweh. They feared Him. They feared Him. I warn you, saints, there must be a fear in your soul. For He's coming. For the gods of this world are telling their parishioners, He's not coming. And so they're looking for longevity today. They're looking for lives beyond the glorious manifestation of the kingdom power of Yahweh. And they have disdain for that. They don't want to hear that message. They want to watch their own sins flourish and blossom with their greed being manifested and their own insatisfied, their uninsatiable lust being taken care of. That's what they look for. And so the word of Yahweh has no place in their souls. Because they have their own writs, or have their own Kabbalah, their wicked writings, the wickedness of their hearts. They have written their own laws and their own statutes, and their own precepts and their own concepts. And they've denied the concept of the precepts of Almighty Yahweh. That is why they can have a beam in their eyes and see the twig in a brother's eye, and they will not say one thing at all about that thing in their eyes. And the beam that is in their eyes, they will not identify thine own eyes or thine own sins. They won't do that because of their own corruption. He said the beam in thine own eye. Was he dealing with one in possession of the beam? Was he dealing with one in possession of it? He possessed it. It was thine own. Thine own. We're no more our own, but we've been bought with the price. The Messiah belonged unto the Father. He says, first of all, in verse 5, thou hypocrite. Thou hypocrite. Cast out the beam out of thine own now. Thine own eye. And then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. He said, you hypocrite. You're not. What a descriptive superlative. A hypocrite? A hypocrite? He said, you cast the beam out of thine own eye? You get your own heart right? Thine own eye? Thine own eye? Is that not what he says? You first cast the beam out of thine own eye. And then when you do that, you can see clearly that that's a twig in your brother's eye. It's a small matter. This thing that has obscured your vision because of thine own being. Thy own God. Thy own sin. Thy own corruption. Thine own wickedness. It's going to take preaching to make it into the kingdom today. You're not going there with some kind of little seductive type talking that elevate that God in your spirit. That you rise up against the law of Yahweh and actually think you are in possession of something. It comes by faith. And faith comes by hearing the word of Yahweh preach. We must hear His proclamations redundantly over and over and over again. That is why children will never learn anything unless there is a redundancy of it, an interaction of it. They learn it by process of time and hearing it over and over and over again. And that's why he wants them to become as little children. That is some haughty swines. He said, you hypocrite. Get that out of your own eye first. Thine own now first. And then when you do that, you can see clearly how to help a brother in distress. You can clearly see how to help a sister. You can show them what way to go and how to come out of that quick mire of sin and corruption. But because of the beam in your eye, you can't speak the truth of that because you covet the sins of your wife or your husband or your sons and your daughters. And you can't speak to the truth of that. I thank my Yahweh that He has never allowed me to be bound under any kind of power spirit like that. That I actually agree with their sins. That I feel comfortable with their sins. That I don't touch their sins. And there's no judgment against their sins. I denounce Him and His authority, His power, His government in my soul. I won't be a part of it. I won't be a friend of it. I won't strengthen that. I will strengthen Him. And that which thine own. Thine own my soul. So I will strengthen Him. And only Him will I strengthen. He said, you hypocrite, get the beam out of thine own eye. You can see how to help thy brother. And then he says in verse 6, give that which is holy. He said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the pigs, lest they trample them under their feet, and they turn against you and rend you. He said, don't give it to dogs, to pigs. Well, that's my mother. She's a dog out of the camp. She don't think about a dog. They must desire even the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She said, yea, you're right, Messiah. But even the dogs understand that the crumbs from the master's table are greater than anything that I can scour for in this wicked world. Just give me the crumbs, Master. I'll take the crumbs off of his table than the riches of this life. I'll take the crumbs off of his table than to sit down at the table of thieves and robbers and perverters that despise my your way. They will sit down in 2 weeks at their gluttonous tables filled with pig feet and chitlins and ham. Fat back and their ham hocks and their collard greens. You go into these block houses, that's all they will have. Chitlins and hams. They're filthy, yes it is. It's an unclean thing. And they will gorge themselves with that unclean stuff. They will eat like dogs. Don't tell me we've been a part of that. Every last one of you. I don't care if you don't like it, the blackheads. And I don't care if the whiteheads don't like it. They will have their glazed ham and all their little fancy pork chops. You better get out of your white flesh and you better get out of your black flesh. You better get out of your family's flesh and your daddy's flesh. You better get in the presence of Almighty Yahweh. Because we know in his presence there's fullness of joy. His right hand there are pleasures evermore. He said, that's what they do. They'll turn and they'll rent you. They'll speak against you and lie against you. I understand that your way. For I've cast your pearl before the dogs and the swines. And they'll turn and they'll rent me. Damn fool. I'm a man of your way. I'm not a fool. Maybe a simple man, but not a fool. Don't like frivolity. I'm a man of some strength. Not mighty strength, because he is the mighty one. I give glory unto your way. Now, is he dealing with thine own? He said, thine own eyes, or thy own eyes, or thine own eye. He's dealing with who? The possessor, isn't he? Is he not dealing with the possessor? You better begin to study the scriptures, saints. For the scriptures, you're going to find your consolation of life. And that is the one thing that the Satan keeps you out of, doesn't it? He won't keep you out of Walmart. He won't keep you out of JCPenney. He won't keep you out of Dillard's. He won't keep you out of Moore's. He won't keep you out of Family Dollars, but he'll keep you out of the Word. You will run to a Dillard, you will run to a Walmart, but you won't run to the book. You know that times I can't wait till I get home, because immediately when I get home, I have to go through the Scriptures. Because you always deal with my heart about a certain thing. I want to see how that Scripture's read, Father. And I began to search the Scriptures, because that's my jewel of life. Yeah, I love life, but I want to see better days and long days. So I want to refrain my lip from all, my tongue from all evil. And I don't want no guile in my mouth. Anybody that will love life and see better days, let him refrain his tongue from all evil. And let there be no guile in his mouth. So I don't want no guile in my mouth. I don't want no evil talking in my mouth. And so I find consolation in Scripture. I find confidence and hope in Scripture. That's where I find it. See, you want to run into Walmart, I want to run out of Walmart. And if I didn't have to go to the Walmart, I wouldn't go to the Walmart. You want to go in, I want to come out. I don't have time spending time in Walmart. I want to spend time in the book of life. All that is in Walmart is trinkets and Chinese-made things, trash. And this is the fullness of life. The fullness of life. You can spend 4 hours in Walmart, you can't spend 4 minutes in this. You are a pervert. You don't even love the Father. You can run about for Walmart and Kmart, but yet you have no time trying to find the nuggets of riches of life in the book. Something is wrong in your soul. You can despise it. It makes no difference at all. That's the truth. I love you, Father, because I know you love me. Now, the scripture says in Luke chapter 8, I want to drive one particular point home today. Thine own. If nothing else, I want to drive that home. Luke chapter 8 and verse 38. Look at what scripture says. It says, now, Luke chapter 8, verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed sought him that he might be with Messiah. But Yahshua sent him away saying, now look what Yahshua said to the man. You know this detail account here. Look at what Messiah said. He says, return to what? To thine own house and show how great thing Yahweh has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great thing Yahshua had done unto him. Did he not tell him to go to thy own house? He had a place whereby they knew him. And he said, go to thy own house. I'm expressing thine own. The possession is mine. That's what the word thine means. It is an archaic meaning the possessor. Thine own. He said, you go back to thine own house. You tell them that this is Yahweh that has done a mighty work. That the devils have been cast out. Your mind is clear. And you know the one that did that for you. He came in the name of the Father, Yahweh. And he spoke the words of faith and every devil had to flee. And it had to go. This is a demonic society. It's filled with devils and lies and corruption. More religion in America than anything. Just trust these men. Talk about casting out devils. You got to have a devil cast out every week. Something is wrong. He sent out his word and it healed the people. The word of Yahweh goes out and it casts out every unclean spirit. He has told them all the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And they all believe there on Pentecost. That's why they had no possession that they call their own. And the reason today they have possession because they don't believe.